we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Levros Kavenokoya. Tova Penokosushta. Are you ready for the flight? Ready for the flight. Mark 11, 23, we'll start from 22 to 24. And then Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Hallelujah. You start from 22. All right. Today, I'll begin to introduce the teaching series for the month of February. Very quickly, for the month of January. Amen. I'm ahead. Praise God. You can see I've moved. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Pastor, wait for me. All right. So we'll introduce the teaching. We'll be teaching on moving mountains and walking on water. Moving mountains and walking on water. And we'll have a special focus today on seeing the invisible and doing the impossible. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this trip? Now, there's a background story. I'll just give us the highlight. But I'll go straight into verse 22 to 24. It's okay. But I can guess 80% of the people seated here remember the background story, okay, to what transpired here. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Okay, let's go to verse 21. Let's go to verse 21. Verse 20. All right. That's a good place to land. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, you remember what had transpired before. I don't want us to read it. We have a lot of work to do. Jesus was passing, and he saw this fig tree that had a lot of leaves. He was hungry and went to the fig tree attempting to eat. And by the time he got close, there were no fruits on the fig. And Jesus looked at the fig tree and cursed the fig tree. He said, henceforth, no man shall eat fruit of thee henceforth. That's King James. Praise God. That means you no longer bring forth fruit. Are you with me? So he cursed the fig tree. Now, he said something momentarily. The disciples heard him. The Bible says the disciples heard him. But you see, nothing seemed to have happened physically until the next day. So they were passing on the next day and noticed that the fig tree that Jesus cursed had withered from the root. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed, or that you have cursed, is withered from the root. Give me New King James from the next verse now. The fig tree that you cursed has withered. And then Jesus began to teach them on mountain-moving faith. Hallelujah. On mountain-moving faith. So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Trust in the faithfulness of God. It's all the same thing. Have faith in God. A translation says, have the God kind of faith. Another says, trust in the faithfulness of God. Verse 23 now. Who made this verse popular? Who knows? I can't hear you. Who made this verse popular? Kenneth Hagin. But some call it Hagin 11:23. You know, this was the verse that God came to him by revelation and got him out of the deathbed. Hallelujah. For assuredly, I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will come will be done, he will have whatever he says. Let's read it again. For assuredly I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24 now, which is the last verse. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 14, 23 to 25. Matthew chapter 14, 23 to 25. 22 to 33, sorry. Moving mountains and walking on water. Now, simply put, this is a teaching on doing the impossible. Okay? This is a teaching on the supernatural life of the believer. This is a spiritual capacity building teaching. Are you with me? Glory to God forevermore. Do you know they talk about mental capacity building? This is spiritual capacity building teaching. And I needed to pay attention. And I'll give you the reasons shortly. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Next verse. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to do what? To pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Oh, hallelujah. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Thank you, Lord. And in the fourth watch, now this is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Oh God. Now, this is not a vision. This is literal. This is not you dreaming and then you're walking on water. Walking on water and feeling cool and then they tap you, you wake up. No. This is real life. A man prayed and prayed and prayed until he began to walk. He couldn't find the difference between the ground and the water. He stepped on water and began to walk upon the water. Our prototype man. Have that in at the back of your mind. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they freaked out. Won't you freak out? They were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. That's what translator spirit. And they cried out for fear. You're on the sea. The wind was boisterous. And then you see a man walking on the sea. Now, mommy, what have you done? Are you here? The Bible says they began to cry out because they were afraid. Next verse. But straight away Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Oh, it is I. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. And see, God in his infinite wisdom never leaves us in the doubt. If the story had ended here, I won't be able to teach this series this morning. Because everybody will conclude that, well, Jesus is God and man. In fact, when people say that, they'll say Jesus is God. They won't add the fact that Jesus is a man. And the Bible is very categorical about that. Listen, the revelation of Christianity is not complete until you know that Jesus is a man. Are you with me? The Bible says there's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. The man. That means you put your faith in a man. Oh, glory to God. So the story didn't end there. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, I am the local fire. I could stay in this verse for the entire service. Stretching the limits of God's omnipotence. Yes, yes, stretching the boundaries of the covenant. You say you're a believer. You said you have eternal life. What can you stretch for? Peter says, if it is you, master, let me come. What a risk. What a risk. On the outside, what a risk. But when you study deeper, you know it's not the risk. Because faith is not the risk. He heard the voice of Jesus. He knew it was the master talking. Be of good cheer. It is I. And then this man of faith said, master, if it's you, call me to come. I am a to savaya. Alebe to savaya. I would to God that I have men and brethren in this service who are ready to test the limits of the covenant this year. Yes, who act like Peter and say, Lord, if you are with me, bid me come. Let me walk on water. Amen to Sapa. And they don't bother what is going to happen. They will step out of the boat and walk on water. You say, Lord, if you are with me, this is the contract I'm going for. Lord, if you are with me, this is 10,000 naira. I'm going to build a house. Oh, I know I'm talking to someone. Lord, if you are with me, I need to do a master's in London.
Yes, sir.
The monies will come.
Yes, sir.
I apply now. Am I talking to someone?
Yes, sir.
He said, master, if it is you, bid me come. Bid me come. Bid me come. You see, after I preach this message, you will sit down and listen to it again and again and again. He said, if it is you, let me come to you on the water. You know, most times people are carried away by what happened to Peter later. You can see it. How he began to sink. But we forget the boldness, the audacity of this man. Oh, we forget his expressions of faith. We forget his demonstration of his confidence in the power of God. I don't want us to forget that. It's a lesson. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who is ready to move mountains this year and walk on water? Next verse. Bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come, Marco Sebaya. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked from the water. A man walked on water. Now, that is symbolic of doing the impossible. I told you. Next verse. He walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. You see, let me draw out one lesson for you. Even when you jump out and step out in faith to do big things, and it's as though you are sinking, there's a master you can cry to. I mean, we can finish service here if you heard me. What he's saying is, there's no reason to be afraid.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Pastor, if I put this 10 million into this business and it doesn't come out, what do I do? You have a master to call. If I take this huge step as you are preaching faith, I know God wants me to do it, but I'm afraid. But you have said, do it afraid. What if I step out and I begin to sink? There's a master close by to call. You see, until we understand these dynamics of the spirit, we can't do big things. Because I've told you again and again that in life, to fulfill your destiny, gradual progress must here and there be interrupted by seasons of the quantum leap. And these seasons of the quantum leap will take you taking the hold of God's word to walk on water. Taking the hold of God's word to move mountains. Are you with me? He cried out, master, save me. Put the scripture up. Master, save me. There's no need to fear. There's no need to fear. Fear of failure, fear of tomorrow, fear of it not working. What if it works? He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him. He will never let you sink. But you see, there was something Peter, who stepped out, experienced that none of the disciples experienced. He walked on water. And don't forget, they walked back to the sea. I mean, to the sheep. I'm sure they were gisting on the sea. Jesus telling Peter, so how was the experience? Hear me and hear me good. There are things you can never experience if you don't know how to get a hold of God's word and walk on water. There is an inner thrill that you cannot have. Are you with me? We're still reading the scriptures. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, saved him, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, pause. That means it took faith to walk on water. Again, the scripture we read in Mark 11, it says, have the faith of God. And then whatever, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So this is a teaching on mountain moving faith, water walking faith. So Jesus is saying that here again, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Next. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Ah, Jesus, around now. The wind ceased. Hallelujah. 33 and the last verse. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Won't you worship? If you were doubting before, they give testimony. Hey, this person was sick. He got his say, well, there's some psychosomatic pathway that brought the healing. You're explaining. Ah, Peter's mother-in-law got healed of fever. Well, there's a resolution time of this kind of fever. You're explaining. You know, I love Jesus. There was a consistency with the increase of the intensity of God's power at work in his life and ministry. When you look at water, he started by turning water to wine. You could argue with that. Then he calmed the waters. You can say, well, you could argue with that. But when he got to this point, you can't argue. You can't argue. There's no technology. There was no geographical explanation for walking on water. And God is moving us to that zone as the church, where we'll begin to produce results that will separate us from the world. Can I get an amen? Oh, that will clear their doubts. That will magnify Jesus so much more that he becomes, there is no other alternative to him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you here? The same thing with the raising of the dead. Oh, I'm sure when he raised the little girl that was dead a few hours, that's Jairus' daughter, right? I said, well, maybe she fainted. You know, there are stories of people who just die and come back to life. Then he said, no problem. The woman, the son of the widow at Nain, they were on the way to go and bury him. That one has been dead for long. Embalmed. You know, if you were not dead and the Jews embalmed you, you would die. Go and study about the Jewish embalmment. You are tied onto suffocation. Even if you were forming to be dead, you would truly die. You know, the mix, the myrrh, the frankincense, is like POP, plaster of Paris. It's initially semi-solid, then afterwards it solidifies. The person will suffocate and die. So on the way to burial, Jesus laid his hands on the casket. The Bible says the people stood still. And then he woke the boy up and took his hand and gave him to his mother. There were people who still argued. Then when they say Lazarus was sick, they say, well, it's time to demonstrate the resurrection power. To live people without any trace of doubts. Lazarus died. Lazarus was buried. Day one, he didn't show up. You think he didn't know? Day two, he didn't show up. Day three, he didn't show up. Then on the fourth day, he came up. He began by telling his disciples, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. Let's go and wake him up. Oh, the language of faith. We're going to get there. The language that moves mountains. Meru kepeto sabaya. Our friend Lazarus is sleeping. Let's go and wake him up. The disciple says, Master, if he sleeps, he do it well. He said, this guy can't understand. Lazi is dead. That's what I'm saying. Let's go and wake him up. I'm sure they did not believe. I said, well, let's go. And then he got there. They began to cry. Martha cried. Then Mary came. Oh, if you are around, my brother would have died. I know he will live again at the resurrection day. Oh, Malekopa. And Jesus dropped that revelation. He says, you think resurrection is an event. But listen, resurrection is a person. For all of the powers of eternity have been encapsulated in the person. For it pleased the Father that in him shall all fullness dwell. He said the totality of divinity is tabernacled in Jesus. When you met him, you met God. When, that's what I told you, Jesus is the university of God. To know him is to know the Father. He is the express image of the Father. All of divinity. When you met him, you met life. Kai. You remember 1 John chapter 1? He said, that which you have heard, that which you have seen, that which you have our hands have handled. No, he said, that which you have seen, that which you have looked upon, that our hands have handled, of the word of life. Then he added, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. The life, you see, when you read very fast, you get what he's saying. The life, definite article. Yes, the life was manifested and we have seen it. It's like saying wind put on a body and we met him. Yes. He said all the essence of all living things became a person and we met him. He put on flesh and intruded into our neighborhood. Oh, Kenyon says Christ was God's intrusion into the sense realm. I mean, you can't forget that. I read that almost 2 decades ago. It's still on the line. He said Jesus was God's intrusion into the sense realm. So when you met him, you met God. He had to prove it. All right, for this, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen, that means it's never too late when Jesus shows up. Yes, oh, you didn't get that. It's never too late when Jesus shows up. And what that means is, as we grow in our understanding, in our revelation of Christ in us, it's never too late when we show up. Yes, oh, you didn't catch that. You didn't catch that. And there are men on earth here and there who have walked in those possibilities. You will hear stories that look like legends. You know what we call legends? They look like tales by moonlight, but it's real. Real. On this earth, people have moved church building before. They say the building was on the road, and they held their hands and prayed and said, move. And the building moved. With the aid of a simple diagram, explain the science. You know, somebody who had lived in the UK told me a story. Told us a story recently. A dear man of God in this country, one of the fathers of faith. He goes to have a meeting in UK in winter. If he's in London for 3 days, London will be hot. Hi, oh God. As the land, he said, Lord, you know, I don't like this cold. And then people were wondering, it's winter. Why is it hot? It's winter. A man entered town. Consistently. For those days it will be hot. Inside winter. Lavros keba telekeba. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. Oh, this is a digression. It shouldn't be too much. Fast forward. He stood there. He said, where have you laid him? Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. And then he stood there. He didn't say, spirit of death, I rebuke you. He said, Father, thank you because you hear me always. Thanksgiving. And then he stood like he was calling a man from the other room. He said, Lazarus, come out. Kabayato seba. Do you still want to doubt? You can't doubt that. You can't doubt that. Then your neighbor who died 4 years ago, how he stood up from where they laid him is a miracle, because they embalmed people like this. The Bible says he hopped out, hopping out of the grave. He said, loose that man and let him go. Fear came upon people. Now I'm going to this story deliberately, because one of the things I want to show you in today's teaching is the foundation of faith being your revelation of the omnipotence of God. Are you with me? Now, why is this teaching important? Why are we teaching about moving mountains and walking on water? Number one reason is because it's our design. You can write that down. By design, believers are mountain movers and water walkers. This means there will always be a vacuum and a dissatisfaction with the mundane and the ordinary life for you. It is our DNA to move mountains and walk on water. And living less is like choking. It's not sustainable. Did you hear what I said? By design, we are to move mountains and walk on water. So, every attempt to set your life on the trajectory of a normal path will cause you to choke. And this is what many believers are going through. They don't even understand why they feel empty, why they feel dissatisfied. That is the program within them calling for. And listen, I've said this before and it bears repetition. The job of a pastor or a minister is not to point you to your humanity. The job of a pastor is to call the divine life within you out. Are you with me? I know many people miss the point. They say, oh, we are struggling too. You know, somebody should be sick. You know, we are human. You know, we are human. You know, we are human. Shut up. That is not ministry. You stand before God's people and you are consistently showing them their humanity. You are not helping them. No Christian needs anybody to remind them of their humanity. You already know. But the job of a minister is to call the divine life. And this is why I said this is spiritual capacity development. And it is compulsory. Why? I said it's our design. It's our design. It's our design. But we have to be trained in the life. Are you with me? It's our design. Our lives were designed to live without limits. To be lived without boundaries in this context. To live it expansively. Remember that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11 to 13. Let's read it again. Message translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11 to 13. Message translation. Is our DNA. By design, we are to be limitless. We are not to be bound. Are you with me? He said, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I longed for you to enter into what? This wide open, spacious life. Spacious life is not constricted. Spacious life. If you are living in just one room, that's not your destiny. That's just the beginning. This sounds funny. If you are living in a compound that doesn't have space, that's not your destiny. You are just passing by. You should live on acres where you can do a prayer walk for 2 kilometers. It's your compound. Can I talk to you? You can have a landing pad, a helipad there if you want. It's cheap if you want. Can I expand your mind? Do you know who Abraham was? Your father of faith. In his house, he had 318 servants. Is that 2-bedroom flat? Let me expand your mind a little. Somebody said, but that is not necessary. You are preparing to go to heaven. You are not serious. You are really not serious. You have not understood this message. This is why when we say give for gospel, you give 200,000 and feel cool. That's why. When you think like that. But see, when your mind is large, you see, you always give to God much more than you give to yourself. Is that true? So imagine if you are large, how much can you do with God? The gospel will travel faster. Glory to God. We didn't fence you in. So it talks about this spacious life. God does not have money problem. It doesn't. It's our minds that limit him. You know, many years ago, I think this is our seventh year in this facility. Thank God we have moved. Amen. 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 And by the way, we are resuming services at the tent. Praise God. Amen. During the announcement, I'll give you the specific date. Praise God. Hallelujah. But somebody said, what? That's this small phone. He said, what? How much did you say you pay for this place? 3-point-something million per annum. Then just this hall, not the overflow hall. That was years ago. He said, how much is land behind here? 1 million. You buy 2 plots. You say, even if it's zinc, just put zinc. And is it not to worship God? I said, and I will have zinc member who thinks zinc building. You want God to punish me? Whose minds are limited, constricted. You pastor young people, you put them inside zinc. I almost say, God will not forgive you. Are you here? The job of a pastor is beyond preaching at you. The job of the pastor is to paint pictures for you. And sometimes he paints those pictures beyond what he's preaching. Especially the pastoral ministry. Are you here? Put up that scripture. Put it back up. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives end small, but you are living them in a small way. That means the life within you. I say by design, we are not small. By design, when I say manage life, as I is life, say we're managing life. Delete it from your vocabulary. Managing life, we are taming life. We are enjoying life. Are you with me? Oh, glory to God. Managing life, edit that from your vocabulary. Manage what life? He said, I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Open up your life. Live openly and expansively. And expansively. So the gap is in spiritual capacity building, which is what we're doing. The life you have within you is not small. By design, we are water walkers. By design, we are mountain movers. It's part of our DNA. We do the impossible. Are you here? Number two reason, our purpose. While we're talking about this, our purpose. Our purpose is to reveal Christ to our generation, beginning from our Jerusalem. That's your immediate environment. And remember, I said this some days ago. In the revelation of Jesus is the identity of the believer. Let me give it to you. I wrote it. In the revelation of Jesus is your identity as a believer. Write it down. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. That means you don't have an identity outside knowing him and making him known. Let me say that again. In the revelation of Jesus is your identity as a believer. You know what that means? That means you don't have an identity outside knowing him and making him known. Settle it once and for all. and get to work. You see, I'm amazed when I see believers going from pillar to post, from North Pole to South Pole, trying to make the ends meet, busy about doing other things, but leaving the core thing behind. Listen, you don't have an identity outside knowing Him and making Him known. You don't. If you're not about these two things, you have lost your identity as a believer. That's in the practical sense. Are you with me? So you need to hear this now. However, we can only compel our generation to recognize and honor our King through the superiority of our manifestations. Jesus said in John chapter 4 verse 48, I believe, He said, you will not believe except you see signs and wonders. You will not believe. The generation we are called to reach, we are sent to reach, are either seeking wisdom or a sign. You remember what Paul said? He said, the Jews seeketh a sign, the Greeks seeketh for wisdom. But see, Christ is both the wisdom and the power of God. That means we have both the wisdom and the power in this package. And we are through the superiority of our manifestations. As we move mountains and walk on water, paint a very clear picture of the relevance of Jesus to our generation. If we are left at the same level, they will not understand. Listen, we would have failed in our assignment. This is why the Lord gave us this life and the power of the Holy Spirit to demonstrate to our generation possibilities beyond this realm, so that seeing they may believe, and believing they may receive the life of God. Are you with me? Glory to God forevermore. So by purpose, because of our purpose, we're water walkers, and we make them see glory. So by now you know that faith is how we move mountains and walk on water. You remember the scriptures we read? All right, so let me just drop this now and then we'll close. Are you blessed so far?
Yes,
now, the central idea of moving mountains and walking on water is faith. There's a central idea to the mountain moving faith I want you to see today. Listen, there's a way faith can be taught and understood, okay, that can bring a person and trap a person into self-effort. Follow me closely. There are teachings, and of course, from teachings you have understanding, have it together. But see, there's a way faith can be taught and understood that can rob the person of faith and trap the person in self-effort. Trap the person in aimless pursuit of self-actualization. Are you with me? Now, when we keep saying believe, I'm giving an example now. Only believe. Believe. You don't believe enough. Only believe God can do it. Do you believe? And then you see people come under pressure and momentary craze, frenzy, as it were. Maybe I don't have faith. Maybe I don't believe. And for some of us, they are trying to walk up. Listen, faith is not mental assent. Faith is not trying to psych yourself. They say, if you think you can do it, you can do it. If you believe you can do it, you can do it. That is not faith. That is not Bible faith. Our teaching of faith must be biblical, must be balanced, and must be New Testament oriented. Are you with me? I'm going somewhere with this. So there's a way it can be taught that will trap a person in self-effort. Well, I don't believe enough. Maybe I don't have faith. This faith thing, this person has more faith than me. How do I get this faith? Write this down. The primary focus of faith is beholding Him, not looking at yourself. Write it down. You are not the focus of faith. Christ is the focus of faith. That means true faith, listen to this, is in Him, by Him, and for Him. True biblical and balanced mountain moving faith is in Him, by Him, and for Him. Remember Galatians 2:20? It says, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. But Christ lives in me, right? It says, I'm the life that I now live. I live not in the flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. Then now that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So whose faith is it? The faith of the Son of God. What is he saying? He's saying the focus of your faith is your revelation of the Son of God, is your revelation of the Father, is your revelation of God. That is the central focus of faith. So faith is first about seeing someone with the eyes of your heart. Faith is first about seeing someone with the eyes of your heart. And any teaching of faith that takes your gaze from the Father, it will paralyze you. It will get you exhausted. Even when you produce results with it, it will become occultic. Are you with me? So the gaze of faith is beholding. And that cannot be missing in your understanding of mountain moving faith. That first, it starts by seeing someone. It continues by seeing someone. It ends by seeing someone. That means the beginning of the faith is seeing someone. The middle of the faith is seeing someone. Even after the faith has produced, it is for him. Are you getting me this morning? Glory to God. So the call of mountain moving faith is a revelation of the invisible God. Faith flows from who you are seeing, not what you are trying to accomplish. The foundation and the call of faith is seeing someone. It is not primarily trying to believe in something. Trying to believe something. It is seeing someone. You see this in the faith of the patriarchs. Oh, you see this. The faith of the patriarchs flowed from the revelation of God. How many of you noticed that? They saw someone with the eyes of their heart, and faith became an unconscious reality. I say that again. They saw someone with the eyes of their heart, and faith became an unconscious reality. Abraham saw him. He saw El Shaddai. God appeared to him and says, I am El Shaddai. I'm also seeing God. I'm not talking about having a vision and Jesus appearing to him. And let me tell you, the Jesus that is appearing to many young people that they are talking about is not our Jesus. It's not our Jesus. Do you understand? Somebody say, in the last 1 week, Jesus has appeared to me 5 times. You know, anybody can come and see anything. But how do we know that it was our Jesus that appeared to you? When you are talking, you will speak with the environment of that encounter. Your life will be a demonstration of the imprint of that visitation. And why do we have those things? Because there are circles where people magnify experiences, visions. So everybody comes up with vision so that they can feel among. Are you with me? So when you talk about visions, I was in the court of heaven 2 days ago. Really? I was in the vision and the Lord Jesus appeared to me. So everybody will now feel, she knows God. She's deep. When we pick this babe to stretch her in prayer for 5 hours, she cannot pray. So what is the foundation for your encounters? And by the way, anybody who does not pray and is seeing vision is a suspect. He's a suspect. Major suspect. You know, there are people when you come for prayer meetings, among younger people anyway, you know, as you grow and responsibility increases, you look for what works.
You didn't understand me now. Next year, you come and give me seed for what I just told you. You know, when you are young, you like hearing highfalutin things. I say, oh, see the hoof of the cherub. There was a cherubic star up here. You come out and you say, oh, have you seen the mystery of the nine nexus? There was a flying scroll that came. As you grow, you see, when you visit your parents from school and you say those things, your father will ask you a question. How does this apply to our daily life? They never asked you that question before. After you have moved your revelation, your Christocentric revelation, your prophetic, your father will tap you and say, so how does this apply to our daily life? You criticize them that they are not deep. Don't worry, when you grow, you will understand. Glory to God. Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
And listen, when you are too itchy to hear new things in the name of revelation, you are posturing yourself for the spirit of error. I say this all the time. For the spirit of error. Are you here? And any spooky things that separate you from the body of Christ, listen, if you ever never get there. To get to a place where you feel the body of Christ is too dirty for you and your friends to relate with, you're already in the cave of Satan. Satan is already your pastor. You don't know. You are still speaking in tongues. Because you have breached fundamental understanding of the Bible. Christ is perfecting his church. And the church will keep being perfected until Jesus returns. You know why? New converts will keep coming.
Yes.
Are you here? Your job is to steward the dimension that God has given you. Do your path in intercession, in loving people, in discipling people, and in preaching the gospel. It's like coming to meet me that, Pastor, we saw two of your members in the club last night. You think I'll freak out? I'll freak out if you say you saw my leaders in the club. But if it's member, I'll not freak out. I will say, eh? Yes. But what are you thinking? You don't want those who go to club to come to church. You must be very selfish. I know I just messed up your theology right now. I just messed it up. You see, the church must have space for the sinners. Jesus was caught among sinners again and again. You know why the Pharisees hated him? They say if he's a savior, he's supposed to be holy. If he's holy, by their interpretation, why is he a friend of sinners? It's in your Bible. Go and read it. Why is he a friend of sinners? And they excommunicated him. But they were wrong. He was right. Are you with me? You see, if we believe that our product is powerful enough to transform any life, then we should be comfortable to have... Let Babalawo come to church. Where else should he go to? You create space for him. If he's carrying serpent on his head, you put it in the bag. You say, keep that one outside. Baba, sit down. I hear what... Are you here? You see, the way religion has trapped people's minds, they are thinking, in fact, the way religion has trapped some people's minds, they are thinking God cannot go to Babalawo's house. No, that's what they think. All power, including the Babalawo's power, is from God. It's just that it's routed through the wrong channels. Is it legal tapping now? When you tapped Nepal Light illegally, Lord, let them catch you. When you did it make it your own? It was illegal, but the source was one. All power in the universe flows from Adonai. Are you here? So when he goes to Babalawo's house, Babalawo will bow and say, sir, your boys are here. We are just trying to put body and soul together. Are you here? No.
What do you think was Daniel's job at a point in Babylon? What do you think was his job? Daniel was the HOD of magicians, babalawos, are you with me? Diviners, stargazers, all the categories of magicians. He was their HOD. That was his department. You think they were Christians? He meant, as he's coming to the office, somebody is playing with snakes. He said, oh, good morning, how are you? One is hanging in the air. He said, oh, good morning. He was not afraid of their demons. Christian goes to office, he sees charm, he says, pastor, I'm not going back again. I'm not your pastor. Small charm, you are running away. Daniel was HOD of magicians. They could do nothing to him. Do you know who we are? Daniel was old covenant. We are new covenant, established upon better promises. In fact, in those days in Babylon, there was no altar for sacrifice. So his prayers was referring to former sacrifices. Yet, there was power. We have to step up. And we are stepping up this year. Am I preaching? You tell believer, get involved in politics. Say, politics is dirty. Who will sanctify it? Who will sanctify it? Enter into business. This business, there's bribery there. Who will bring non-bribery activities into the business? Are you with me? And this is why you have to be thoughtful when you read the Bible. Oh, glory to God. Moving mountains, are you blessed? You see, when you see the omnipotence of God, and that is the first thing you have to see. I've shared three things you have to see. Number one, write it down, the omnipotence of God. Genesis chapter 18 verse 14. Hayabako sebaliaka. I'll just give you summarized versions. The omnipotence of God. You see the all-powerful God. I was telling you how that for the patriarchs, their faith flowed from the revelation of God in their heart, from the God they saw in their heart. So you see Abraham taking 318 servants to train servants to defeat four kings that five kings could not defeat. Why? He saw something. He saw someone. He saw someone. No, you do you know what that means? Chedlaoma was a bully and then a mercenary. Ometosa. Moses went to Pharaoh with a staff. With a staff. No military might. No mercenaries contracted. He went with a staff and stood before a God king and said, thus saith the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. Who does that? He saw someone. He saw someone. This year, may you pursue and see him. Amen. This year, may you press and see him. Amen. He saw someone. Staff, stick. Stick. Why? He had met Jehovah. When God met him, he says, I am Jehovah. By my name, Jehovah, was I not known to your fathers? But I'm Jehovah. I'm the God of war. Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He saw someone. Yes, David appeared with a sling and stones and brought down a giant. He saw the God, the God, covenant-keeping God. Covenant-keeping God. He saw him. He saw him. Esther, why would she, after taking a fast, walk to the king's palace? You don't do that in all the Chaldeans. You don't do that. Oh, but she saw a God that keeps covenant. When you're looking on the outside, there's an element to risk to it. And when you see God and you begin to take steps and walk on water, people on the outside may not understand, but you have seen something. So you can write it down. Real faith is seeing the invisible one and then doing the impossible on the earth. That's faith. And when Hebrews 12 was given account, Hebrews 11 account of Moses, we can't read all the scriptures now. It says, seeing him that was invisible, he saw someone. He did. The widow of Zarephath saw God. Let me explain it to you. Remember, she prayed. And God sent her a prophet. And she saw God in that prophet. If she didn't see God, there's no way on earth you carry your last food and give to a man who claims to be prophesying. It's not possible. But she saw God. She saw God. And was bold enough to receive the word of the Lord from the mouth of the prophet. Are you blessed already? Paul saw the head of the church. And he saw that Christ and his church are one. And he took the world. He literally took the world. He did. On the way to Damascus, when he heard the Lord say, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise. I am Jesus. He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, let me just highlight this. Jesus was in heaven at that point. Who was being persecuted on the earth? The church. But as the church was being persecuted, he was feeling the pain where he was. Why? He is one with his church. No wonder, and that encounter became the foundation for what you call the Pauline revelation, right? When he heard Jesus saying that, he knew that, listen, this man is one with his church. He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. He said, who art thou, Lord? He had to be a Lord. He knocked you off. He had to be a Lord. He says, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh God. That means anything that touches me, touches him. I'm one with him. I'm one with him. And through the washing of water by the word, is purging his bride. In Revelation, the Bible talking about the candlestick, symbolic of the church. It says he saw the Lamb standing in the midst of the candlestick. That means, no matter how imperfect you think the church is, Christ is standing in the midst of his church. He's there. What is he doing? Perfecting his church. How is he perfecting his church? Through the washing of water by the word. His instrument for perfecting his church is the word. Is the word. He said, you are cleansed through the word that I've spoken unto you. You are cleansed through the word. Oh, hallelujah. So see the omnipotence of God. How big is your God? Listen. Put the mountains side by side with the omnipotence of God, and the mountains will begin to look like molehills. Let me say it again. When you learn to put your mountains side by side, you know, the Bible says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Put your mountains side by side with the omnipotence of God. Put that Genesis 8:14 for me. 18:14. Those mountains will begin to look like molehills. You know molehills? Sound hill that you can just press. Glory to God. God appeared to Gideon and says, thou shalt smite the Midianite as one man. As one man. And he did. He did. Reduce an army from 100,000 to 300. You know what happened here? Sarah laughed. And God dropped his resume. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you. According to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. I want to see the A part. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a statement of his omnipotence. This was God talking. You know, one of the angels of the Lord here referred to Yahweh himself. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything? So learn to meditate on his omnipotence. I told you the side of faith I wanted to see today is the understanding of the core of faith being the revelation of someone. So meditate on his omnipotence. You look at that business vision. You look at the goal. You look at the instruction he has given you. You look at the things you want to get done. You look at the trouble you are in. And then you put God by the side. You put him before you. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. I tell you the truth. The mountains will begin to look like molehills. Most times the problem is focus. And that's why I told you. The primary focus of faith is not the mountain. The primary focus of faith is not you. The primary focus of faith is Christ. And Christ, of course, is the perfect revelation of the Father. So the first is your vision of his omnipotence. The second is your revelation of the fatherhood of God. Now, that God is omnipotent, will he show up in my case? That's where the fatherhood comes in. Is he willing to intervene? The fatherhood of God. The third part is your revelation of the finished works of Jesus. That means, am I qualified for his help? What is my qualification? My works? What is my qualification for God's help? What he did. Oh, glory to God. We are moving mountains. We are walking on water. We are moving mountains. We are walking on water. In the name of Jesus. Just speak in tongues where you are. I can't even talk more. I can't talk further anymore. Entorobokosa. Jebedon zika protisoshta. Mandosike prodilakososhta. Enjelekapra. Montoko predilakosa. Mandeke predosa kapata. Hima kopotosila. Selina kopredila koposushta pora badali kapa. Imando sushoto kapa. Endo like proboko sushoto. Mando, are you speaking in tongues? My heart will sing. No other name. Just be softly. Jesus. Jesus, my heart will sing. No other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing. My heart will sing. No other, yeah, Jesus. Jesus, my heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
No other name.
No other name.
For the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
No other name. For the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
No other name.
No
other name. Jesus.
Jesus.
Hey, rabba, rabba, rabba. Speak in tongues.
Jesus.
My heart will sing.
My heart.
No other name,
no other name. Jesus,
yeah.
Jesus,
my heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
No other name,
no other.
Rabababababamano kusemanelelebosa.
Jesus,
Jesus, let your eyes see him. My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
eyes of your heart see him. As you sing the song, let the eyes of your heart see him. Let the eyes of your heart see him. Let the eyes of your heart see him. My heart will sing. No other name. I want you to dethrone every other thing in your heart. Dethrone. Dethrone them. Every other pursuit, every other desire, every other passion, appetite, outside of seeing him. He said, Lord, they are dethroned. You are my vision. You are my pursuit. You are my desire. My heart will sing. Can you be on your feet? My heart will sing. No other name.
No other name.
The name of Jesus. Yeah.
Jesus.
My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
No other name.
No other name.
The name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Shadalabarabade.
My heart will sing.
I want you to pray this prayer as you sing the song. Lord, let my eyes be open to see you clearly. Be on your feet if you are seated, please. Lord, let my eyes be open to see you this year. Let my eyes be open. You are my vision. You are my revelation. You are my identity. You are all I see. You are all I see.
Jesus.
Overflow halls, make sure you are participating.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Please be on your feet. Please be on your feet, except you are pregnant, you are breastfeeding, or you are not, if you are not feeling fine, let the power of God come upon you. So be on your feet. Zepetola Bredila Kopa. Can we pray for 3 minutes? Zepina Kombredosa. The message this morning is very clear. Is our DNA to move mountains and walk on water? Is our purpose to demonstrate His majesty, His glory, His power, His love to our generation? The generation that seek a sign and seek wisdom. But both are encapsulated in the life we have on our inside. The message is clear. The beginning, the core, the foundation of mountain moving faith is someone you have seen. Is someone you have seen, is the revelation of God, the omnipotence of God, the fatherhood of God, the finished works of Christ. And we'll go deeper next week Sunday, but I want you to pray right where you are. Lord, let my eyes be open to see you this year. The eyes of my heart. Job said, I have heard of thee, by the hearing of the ears, now my eyes see you. Now my eyes see you. That means I have my personal encounter. I have my personal experience.
Yes,
I have met him. He's real in my heart.
Yes, sir.
He's not fluke. I told you. This is why I gave you examples. When you see men confronting mountains, they have seen him.
Yes, sir.
I want you to pray, Lord, I want to see him. Express a heart desire. It's not vision we're talking about, but Christ being revealed from the pages of scriptures, the omnipotence of God, the fatherhood of God being a pulsating reality in your heart. Open your mouth and pray to see you, whatever that means.
I behold the Christmas. I behold Shabakashete, Rekete, Vedolebania,
Shabalaka,
the Lavana, 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 the
My heart will sing. No other name. You are the song of my heart. You are the vision of my eyes. You are the desire of my soul. Jesus. You are the song of my heart. You are the desire of my soul. You are the vision of my eyes. You are the vision of my eyes. Jesus. Hey, one more time, let your heart cry. My heart will sing. Rebedosa, Rebedosa. Just talk with him.
Jesus, Jesus.
My heart will sing. No other name. Jesus, pray. Lord, you are the vision of our eyes.
I see you.
You are the desire of our soul. You are the song of our hearts. Lord, how we long to know you more. How we long to see you clearly. Lord, let this year be a year of revelation. Let it be a year of knowing you. Let it be a year of knowing you. Oh, let it be a year where many of God, of us can testify that we have heard of you by the hearing of the ears. Now our eyes see you. Lord, this is a heart cry. This is a heart desire. This is our dream. This is our apostle. This is our ambition for the year. This stands out for us. We want to see you. We want to see you. We want to sing you as our only song. We want to see you as our only vision. We want to pursue you as our only desire. Thank you, Lord. Just bow your heads, everyone, with your eyes closed. In this service, I want to give the privacy of this moment to a few persons among us, on ground, in the hall, in the overflow hall, and online. I want to give you the privacy of this moment. You do not have a relationship with the Lord yet. And listen, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. You are saying, Dr. Karis, pray for me. I want a relationship with God. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be restored to the Lord. I want to be called his child. I don't know if I'm his child. If you are his child, you will know. And you're saying, pray for me, Dr. Karis. You are in that category now. If you're online, the media will put a link there off for you to click on, and someone will reach you afterward. Okay? But there's a prayer we're going to pray. Make sure you pray that prayer with us online. Now, if you're in the hall, you're in that category, and you want me to pray for you, as I've mentioned, to just lift your right hand up. You're saying, Dr. Karis, pray for me. I want to be restored to the Father. I want to give my heart to him. I want to be born again. I want my sin forgiven. I want to be restored. Just raise your hand where you are. Raise your hand where you are. God loves you. It is not to display you as the worst sinner in the world. Some of us were worse than you. But we are cleansed. We are sanctified by his grace and mercy. So if you are lifting your hand, lift it very high and put the devil to shame. God bless you, my sister over there. Lift it high in the overflow hall. Lift it high. Lift it high. Lift it high. Hendo perosi patosi kepere do kosayata. If your hands are up, I want you to pray this prayer very loudly. God bless you, my brother over there. God bless you, my sister. God loves you, and He loves you exclusively. He loves you passionately. He loves you such that if you're the only one in the world, He'd have still come and died for you. So right with your hand lifted where you are, I want you to pray this prayer very loud. I mean every word of the prayer. Okay, I'm sure they've given you cards. Some of them will get to you. Now, the rest of us will join them to pray the prayer as a custom. You say, dear God, I believe that you love me. I believe that Jesus is your son. He died for my sins. He was raised for my justification. And I declare that that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Today, I receive forgiveness of sin. I receive righteousness into my heart. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you, Father. I can call you Father. According to your word, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm restored. I'm a new creation. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.